Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a positive difference in this world. We explore important aspects and areas of life, including business, sales, spiritual, physical, mental, relationships, disabilities, and many more interesting topics. Our broadcast team so far consists of outstanding people from both Canada and the U.S., including several Napoleon Hill certified instructors as well as several authors. My name is Tom Tuttle Cunningham, and I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor and a regular contributor to their weekly newsletter. I spoke in March 2012 at the Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra, who was the keynote speaker for that event. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 44 years now. And in that time, I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced, which makes me sound like a spider. And I've been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1". That's due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. Despite those physical challenges, everyone who knows me well, because I always answer amazing whenever I'm asked how I am doing. I'm also a senior research director, editorial research director for the Canadian Business Journal, which is a digital-only publication, and we are the official and only media partner of the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. My guest today is a great friend of mine, Don Fobbs, who I met not only in Malaysia, but I met Don also in Ireland. We spent 2 weeks together in Malaysia as part of the Napoleon Hill International Convention Tour, and then also just spent a week in November of 2012 in Ireland as part of the Napoleon Hill Foundation Leader Certification Trip. Dawn is a native Houstonian, and she has a voracious appetite to connect small business owners and entrepreneurs. Dawn is so adamant about this that she became executive producer and television talk show host on KUBE TV Channel 57, Comcast Channel 53, and C653 in HD. Fobbs has been an entrepreneur for 14 years and is in the process is the owner and co-owner of more than a dozen businesses. She has written and self-published 15 business books. Dawn is on a forward mission to make the Fobbs Business Review the premier hub for more than 1 million small business owners and entrepreneurs. The Fobbs Business Review is on television every Saturday morning from 5 to 6 a.m. on KUBE Television in Houston, Texas. Dawn has been featured on radio shows such as The Wealthy Speaker Show, KKHT 107.7 FM, The Fearless World of Networking, Basement 2, The Boardline Online Radio Show, and on teleconferences with Powerful Women International Teleseries. Dawn has also been featured in publications such as the Houston Business Journal, Evolution Magazine, Stand Entrepreneur Magazine, the Houston Production Guide, and the Katy Courier. Dawn lives in Katy, Texas, with her 4 lovely children. Welcome to the show today, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Tom. I just have to say I really appreciate you having me on your show.
Well, it's exciting because if I'm not wrong, your television show started this past Saturday, did it not?
It did, and you know what, Tom? It was just like saying, okay, time to go to the hospital to have your baby. It was like, oh, my goodness. I never thought I would be nervous about that, but I was quite nervous. But it was that good nervous energy, like, okay, I've done it. It's going to be fine. Now I just want to sit back and look at, you know, all the work that you put into something when you can see it physically there. It's like, I just said, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so glad I followed my mind and just followed through with all of it.
Exactly. And now I first heard of it in March when we were on the Napoleon Hill International Convention Tour. And even then I was like, You go, girl. That is like a big project. Perhaps I even had some doubt in the back of my mind, like, holy cow, I know people interested in writing a book or doing like I'm doing on a radio show, but I don't know a lot of people that can pull off their own television show. And yet here we are from March to November, and you've told me you got 2 seasons of shows taped already.
We have almost 30 shows already taped. I'm quite excited about it, which has equaled up to almost 93 interviews. And I'm going to tell you something, Tom. When I met you and was talking with you about it in March, I had no idea that June would have been the launch date, because I thought January before March would have been the launch date. But I took about 2 years to do all of the necessary research that I needed to do. I researched other talk show hosts. I researched how to get your own show on TV. I mean, as I was doing the research, I was also writing notes so that I could then turn that into a book so I could teach people how to get their 15 minutes or more of fame by getting their message out through, you know, getting your TV getting your show on TV. And I can tell you, people tell me I make it look easy. I will tell you it was not easy, but I will also tell you that every time I felt like it wasn't easy, another door opened that showed me, doesn't matter how hard it is, you can still do it. And so that was my constant motivator, and I'm my motivator as well, my own personal cheerleader. And I just thought, this is going to happen. And I have to tell you that when I was in Malaysia, as I was still putting all of the bells and whistles on what I wanted to do and how I was going to make it look and visualize and what it was going to be like, after I came back from that trip from Malaysia, it was like, yes, you're going to do this. You know, I called everybody that I had on standby and said, okay, here's the date we're going to start. I've already got the people ready to be interviewed, and it just kind of happened. And you're right, not a lot of people are bold enough to say, I'm going to produce and host my own television talk show, but I like to do things that other people are afraid to do just so I can be an example to them, Tom.
I believe that, and I've seen that. And then I think not only do you need to publish that book, but maybe do some coaching or some kind of a course on how to design and start and program your own television show, because that is a unique kind of a skill, and a lot of people would love to host their own television show, but they have no idea, or they think it's impossible. And so I think that would be more than just a book you need to put out there. You might need to do some coaching, hand-holding, some kind of a course to help people with it, because I'm sure it's a ginormous adventure, even more so than writing a book. There's a numerous programs and things out there available for people needing help to write and publish a book, but not too many on how to host your own television show.
Yeah, well, you know, our show is called The Fobs Business Review, and we coined ourselves as the talk show that teaches. The reason I put that as the talk show that teaches is because we're all about helping people to create their own economy through small business and entrepreneur ventures. But the bigger picture of it is that when I developed how the end result was going to look for the show, there were 3 key things that I knew the end result was going to look like. One, it was going to look like what we say. If we're the talk show that teaches, we need to be really teaching. So workshops, seminars, teleseminars, mastermind groups, all of that will definitely happen. And it's surrounding the topic of how to get yourself on TV and those little nuggets that nobody ever wants to tell you about. The other thing that I knew it needed to look like is I know that I wanted a premier business television talk show that is the hub for all entrepreneurs and small business owners to meet at, whether it's through interviews, through coaching, through connecting online. And the goal is to bring together at least 1 million or more. And I won't say at least, I will say to bring together 1 million or more small business owners and entrepreneurs and those that desire to be. And then the third thing that I knew the television show needed to look like is it needed to be fun. It needed to take the myth out of, you know, having your own business is way too hard and having your own business is not fun. And I wanted to add the fun piece into it. And so I've accomplished adding the fun piece into it. I've accomplished the teaching part of it. Now we just have to roll out those workshops and seminars for next year, 2013. And I've got people on board that are willing to help with it. So I've put the outline and everything together for the book. The book is basically going to be your tool, kind of like your GPS roadmap for you. But then we'll have workbooks and everything so that people can individualize their plans, because the way I put my show together may not be the way somebody else wants to do it, but I give it to you step by step so that you will know there's no hidden little piece that I didn't tell you. And if you follow that roadmap, you will be able to get your show on the air. And I have three or four tips that I'm going to put in there that is for sure you will have your show on TV. And this is just what I've learned. So I notice there are a lot of people out there that talk about TV and talk about, you know, being in the media and all that. But a lot of them teach it, but they're not actually even on TV.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I want to be that.
I'm going to get that information.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll share it with you anytime.
And so one thing I know about you and love about you and that I'm passionate about as well is being an entrepreneur. And many people think they want to be an entrepreneur, but not everyone is cut out for it. I know two very prominent people. Won't mention their names, but they're very prominent people. And their first marriages, they got divorced because they were entrepreneurs. Their wives couldn't stand the life of an entrepreneur where your bank account goes up and down, your business goes up and down, you have new ideas all the time. And so tell me a little bit about what it means to you to be an entrepreneur and whether everyone can be an entrepreneur and maybe some of the struggles and challenges, as well as obviously people that want to do it, they want to do it for a reason. So tell them all the good parts about it as well.
Well, for me, being an entrepreneur equals one word, and that word to me, Tom, is freedom. Freedom to go and come as I please. Freedom to choose the economy that I want to have for myself, you know, creating my own economy. It also is freedom for me to be with my children when I want to be with them and when, you know, we can take vacations and do things. But, you know, here's the thing. You actually have to take some action, and that's the part that people don't get. They see the end result, and they just automatically think that, oh, I can do that. But let me tell you something. Everybody's not cut out because only the strong survive. And what I mean by only the strong survive is it's the ones that are willing to do the blood, sweat, and tears work, the ones that are willing to take the adversity, the ones that are willing to fight through the fear. Oh, my gosh, the fear. The ones, if you could hear, Tom, some of the excuses I gave myself before, while I was in the midst of, you know, doing some research on getting my show done, if you could hear some of the excuses I gave myself, like, oh, I need to lose 20 pounds, my hair needs to be this kind of way, oh, I need the perfect makeup artist, oh, well, we can't do it because we don't have a location. You know, it was just one thing after another. And let me tell you something funny. Every time I had that excuse, something said, don't even go there. Because when I said, you know, I don't have a location yet, and, you know, it's been very challenging for me to get anybody to let us use a location. But because I knew I wanted to personalize my studio, I said, how about I just design and build my own studio? How about we do that, Don? And then people can rent your studio from you, and you can earn money off of that yourself. And I went, bing, there it is. I mean, every time I had an excuse, you know, when I said, oh, I need to lose 20 pounds, I go, I can be whatever size I want to be on TV. I mean, either they like my show or they don't. And so every time I had an excuse, you know, my mind just shot it down and said, no, honey, we don't think like this. Here's how we think, and here's how we're going to resolve that problem. So, you know, for those people who, you know, they want to do something, I can tell you now, if you're not taking action, if you're not reading a lot, and I know, Tom, you and I have that in common, too, that we are book junkies, and I know that it has been just a wealth of beauty in our lives. I mean, every time we've gotten together, Malaysia and in Ireland, I'm like, what are you reading? What's on your iPad? You know, whatever. I want to know what people are reading. And when something, you know, sparks my interest, I mean, like when I got back from Ireland this time, I went onto Amazon and I pulled up, you know, some of those books that you're giving me a list of. And I already ordered them, and they're already in my house. And, you know, haven't started on them yet because I'm still finishing another one. But I just can't wait to get those. So only the strong survive in this thing we call small business and entrepreneurship, because it will knock you down. You have to have the technique to know how to get back up. If you sit down and you lean up, or if you jump right back up, or if you get back up, if you get somebody to get your hand to get you up, whatever, you have to figure out how to keep moving forward, and don't give up, but keep moving forward so that at least you're making some progress towards the end of that goal. And guess what? You know what, Tom? It's okay if the end result goal changes. I wanted a talk show that had an audience of 75 to 100 people. I didn't get that, but I'm okay, because I know down the road I will have a live audience and I will have, you know, all of that, you know, what I see the end result being. But for now I said, okay, Don, we got to crawl before we walk. And once we get the marketing to the point where we have all those people watching the show, and we have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, you know, also commenting on our show being the premier business show, I mean, Think about it, Tom. How many business shows do you know that are out there actually on TV that's focused
exactly.
on teaching entrepreneurs and those who desire to be? How many shows do you know? I mean, I've done the research, did not find any, and that excited me because I thought, I can do that. If I can't do anything else, I can do that. And guess what? All the stuff that I didn't know how to do, everything I don't know how to do, I have somebody in my corner that either knows how to do it, can direct me to who knows how to do it, or I can get on the computer and research. And I'm telling you, the computer is my best friend.
Yes, exactly. And so now you'd mentioned about some even negative thoughts you had when you first thought about putting on a television show, and these come naturally, to everybody. And yet, those people who, exactly, and people who read a ton of personal development books like you and I, we're kind of shielded. We still get those negative doubts in our mind, but we've read so much, at least both of us have, that I get ideas and thoughts and things in my mind saying, come on, you know that's not true. You read that in such and such a book. You know how to do that. You've heard a story of a guy who did that. And so I think that's the value of taking time to read the hundreds and hundreds of books we've both read, is that no matter what situation or negativity comes into our brain's going to zap it and say, hey, you just read 8 books about that, and you can do it. So, yeah, how do you make time? Because I know you read a lot, and even I have trouble making the time all the time to read every day. And yet I would imagine for both of us, that's one of the key things that has determined our lives is how many books we've read.
Well, you know, like Charlie Tremendous Jones says, your life will be the same in 5 years except for the people you've met and the books you've read. And I'm going to tell you, I believe that 1,000%. And, you know, the way I make time to do my reading is, one, it's a priority to me, and the why is big enough to make me want to do it. But the way I do it, I wake up early in the morning. You know, people don't start getting up in my house. I have 4 children, so they don't start getting up until, you know, 6 o'clock. So I'm up at 3:20 in the morning. And so between 3:20 and I can do those things. But you got to remember, I go to bed very early. So the way I structure my life is very important to what I want. I want whatever my end result is. If I want that specific income, if I want that specific success. And to me, by the way, success is completing anything that I've had a burning desire to do. So to me, success is completing that. And so I wake up early. I'm in bed, you know, early. My commitment to myself is to read 3 books a week. That's a small commitment. Sometimes I do more depending on if it's an e-book. And I haven't restricted myself, Tom, to if it's a hardback, a softback, if it's online, if it's 5 pages or if it's 500 pages. I don't restrict myself to that. But I have a goal that I have to read at least 3 books a week. And not only do I read, Tom, but I take notes on those books that I'm reading, because I know that every time I'm taking notes, I'm getting little bits of nuggets and nuggets from here and there. And it's not the notes from the book specifically, but it's what that note meant to me. And I make my own note personally of what I got out of it. So I steal those little moments when, you know, if I'm waiting on the kids and they're, you know, in a dance class, or if I'm dropping my daughter off at work, or if I'm sitting there for 5 minutes waiting for her to get off. For instance, the other night when I went to pick her up, she said, you know, I get off at, you know, 11:30 p.m. I got there at like 10:30. I sat in the car. It was nice and cool outside. I sat in the car, and I just read for an hour before she came out. And then she says, how long were you here? I said, don't worry, I keep myself entertained. You know, on the airplane, you know, both of us have taken very long flights to Malaysia and Ireland. And even when I go from Houston to California, which is only 3.5 hours, I'm reading, I'm writing. So I steal those little moments every time I can. You know, the great thing is we all have the same amount of time, 24 hours in the day. But it's how you use yours and how I use mine that really makes the difference. And I've decided and committed to myself, because I'm not going to lie to myself. I've committed to myself that I am going to be committed to reading everything that I can, everything that helps enhance what I'm doing, everything that inspires and keeps me enthusiastic, because you don't do this much work on yourself and then just let it fall to the wayside and you have to keep starting over. No, 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 no. You keep boosting it forward and forward. And so that's how I steal those little moments. I mean, even if it's a moment of, you know, waiting in line at the grocery store, I keep a book in my purse. People know me. If I was at any contest and they said, okay, you win $1 million, whoever has a book in their purse, I would for sure be the winner.
And now you're embarrassing me here a little bit and making me push my goals up, because 3 a week, I'm committed to reading, and I'm happy when I can finish 5 or 6 books a month.
You have your little Kobo hand thing. I'm still a very old-fashioned girl. I have an iPad that I have no books on at all. I have a lot of audio stuff on there, but I have no books at all because I like to touch my book. I like to feel it. Like last night when I went to bed and I was reading, I had my book right there in the bed with me, and it was just like, oh, this is wonderful. And I was looking over a book called The 100 Best Business Books of All Time, because I'm wanting to take a book that I've had an idea for in 2013 and look at all the thousands of books that I have in my home office as well as my outside office. And I want to go through and get all of those notes from in there that I've typed out notes, and I want to kind of do like a Cliff Notes type of book for people so that they can even realize why they should be reading these books. Sometimes people won't go and take the investment, Tom, to just buy a book without knowing what it is. I'm not giving it away about what the book is about, but I'm just telling them what it did for me.
Hey, exactly, and I'm not one. I buy books like yourself before I even am ready to read them. I buy some books that I don't read for 3 or 4 months because I got 7 other books lined up ahead of it. But I'd rather own the book. I feel smarter just having it on my shelf.
I know, and you know what I always say, when you're surrounded by these books, it's as if it's getting into your brain, it's seeping into your skin, it's on a cellular level. I heard a guy say at watching a church event on TV, and he said, if you really want to know the character of a person, look at their bank account. And I said, if somebody looked at my bank account, they'd say she's the most boring person in the world. All we see is Amazon, 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 Amazon. And I said, you know, that's really the only thing I use my credit card for is when I buy books online at Amazon, because I can't just hand them the money. So if somebody looked at my bank account, they would say, oh, my God, this girl is reading. Like,
yeah.
They walk into my office. I've had people say, Tom, when they walk in my office, they instantly feel smarter with all these books. And when they start looking at some of the titles and the beauty of the books that I have from the people, like today, I was so sad to hear that Zig Ziglar passed away.
Yeah, oh, very
all
sad, big, big influence.
Yeah, I pulled all my books out, and I pulled all my audio CDs, and I said, you know what, I'm dedicating the rest of my evening to listening to Zig and looking at my notes from Zig, and I'm really feeling just such, you know, emotion for his family, because not only do we know what we got from Zig, but can you imagine what his children got from him living in the same house? So what a legend to be lost. But, you know, I'm going to pay homage to him today by listening to my audio CDs and my books. Like, you know, yesterday my whole day was focused on listening to Napoleon Hill and, you know, all the stuff from the
yeah, I saw that
class. I immersed myself yesterday in Napoleon Hill, and I'm telling you, by the time I got in the bed last night, Tom, I could not sleep because I had at least 15 new ideas. And I even came up with an idea that I'd been talking with some other people, and they were like, well, how are we going to make it happen? Before I went to bed last night, I'd written out the whole plan of how I'm getting ready to work on a reality show with some ladies, and it's a matchmaking show for entrepreneurs, and you know the funny part of what you know what happens when you become successful and what happens in your dating life. So it's just I had so many ideas yesterday that I thought, this is why you read, Dawn. You don't need any other explanation. You know why you read.
Exactly. And so also, you are a life coach, and that is a huge growing industry. People need someone who can tell it to them like it is, who can point out what they need to do, point out what they should stop doing, and someone who can really give us guidance on how to progress in our life. And so tell me about being a certified coach. Some people say, well, why would I need a coach for my life? But all high-performing athletes have coaches. Why shouldn't high-performing people have coaches as well?
Absolutely agree. A short story here. The first time I ever heard the word coach was back in 2006. I didn't know outside of sports what a business or life coach was. And I tried to hire a few people, and they were so intimidated by me, Tom, that they wouldn't coach me. They said, you make more money than us. You know what your end result looks like. You've pretty much got it together. Why do you need a coach? Even with me giving them my compelling reasons as to why I wanted a coach, they were like, they were too intimidated. I had four people that backed out, and then I said, let me look into this coaching thing. Maybe I should become a coach. And as I was looking into it, I realized with my consulting business at that time, I was already coaching people and didn't even know it. So I got in contact with the International Coaching Academy and went through their program, and they said, oh, you won't finish this program within a year or two, so take your time. I finished the program in 6 months. I was on five or six calls. I got my program done. I was on so many calls. I started at 5 in the morning with my calls, and I would do calls all day long, and they were only an hour. So I snuck them in at the airport. I got them in when I was waiting, on other stuff. I mean, it was just beautiful to be able to finish that in 6 months and say, no, I've given you my 127 hours. I'm good. And then I went through some other programs, and I also got my last year I got my NLP coaching certification where, we did the glass walk and the fire walk, and I did that with Richard Nungard. And so I'm double certified. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to help people. And I specialize in the area of confidence. And the reason I specialize in the area of confidence is because if you don't have it, everything you're trying to do will fail because the fear will creep in and make you forget who you are. And so I specialize in that area. I specialize in it for business and for life. We start on the life aspects first because we have to start from the core and then work ourselves out. Because if our life is terrible and horrible and negative and painful, then we will not create beautiful, successful business that look like they need to look. So I get down, and like you said, somebody who tells it like it is, I tell it like it is, I say it like it is, we work through it, and you become a better person. And as I'm helping you to become a better person, I become an even better person. So that's how I do my coaching. I've had individuals that were youth actors and actresses. My little 11-year-old, she wants to be an actress, and I'm supporting her with that. And so I work with a lot of the kids that she's in classes with, and I've coached millionaires. As a matter of fact, I've had permission to say this many times, but I coached a lady by the name of Samantha Bennington, and she is actually the ex-wife of Chester Bennington, which is, the lead singer of Linkin Park, which is the largest rock band in America. So, from her being a multi-millionaire all the way down to little kids who just say, I want to be an actress, help me to get rid of this fear so I can be confident. So I've had all kinds of people, men, women, mostly women, not by choice but by design of how I guess it's supposed to be. So 98% of the individuals that I've coached have been females, and they've thanked me for whatever it is that I've done for them. Some of them dropped out because they were like, yeah, you're requiring me to do work, and I'm like, yeah, told you that when you called me on the first introduction call. So, I believe in putting the work in, Tom, and I'm not saying it's easy. That's what I just have to say. It's not easy, but I believe so strongly in putting in the work just because I've been shown what will happen when I put the work in. And then I can tell somebody else, yes, I had to crawl before I walked, but at the end of the day, like yesterday, I'm sitting back and tears are in my eyes because I was so excited about all this stuff that came up that, I could do to support this a major empire that, is, happening right now. I was just like, all I could say was just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, because I want to forever be grateful. And the other thing I was thankful for is that I have a reason, even more so than waking up with breath in me, but even more reasons to wake up, and every morning the first thing out of my mouth is thank you for waking me so that I can get another day to thank you. That's what I say every and I can tell that it does something for me because I get so emotional just about that little 1 second statement. It's like, wow, it's so powerful, and I really want people to have that. I want them to have that excitement to wake up to do whatever it is they do to help other people. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't think about ourselves in the midst of this, because we do need to think about ourselves. But when we're serving others, oh, that's when you get the good stuff right there. When people come to you with that beautiful look in their eyes, that you've helped them, or even that you've said a kind word to them to lift their spirits, or anything that you've done to help them, it's very rewarding. And, rewards don't always come in the form of money, but a reward is a reward, and we just should be thankful for it.
Amen. And that goes with the Napoleon Hill principle of going the extra mile. And in the last 2 or 3 years since I've made it a major focus to implement that, you are so right. If you help people in whatever capacity, whether it's your job, your business, your volunteer time, your parenting, it comes back to you, and it's almost like putting money in the bank, and you don't want to get to the point where you help others knowing that you're going to be benefiting, but once you've proven the law so many times, you know that my reaching out and helping anyone in any way, however I can, is going to come back to me sometimes even more than what I gave from different sources and different ways. But once you've proven that principle, you can dive into helping other people because you know in the end you're going to benefit as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, just thinking about Zig, you know, one of the quotes that he talks about is if you help enough people, you'll get everything that you want. And it really is a truth because it does come back around to you just for those good deeds. I know when my dad had a heart attack and a stroke back in 1998, you know, out of the five kids, I was the one who said, oh, no, he can come live with me. Now, this was a big task because I'm 5'4", and my dad was 7'1".
Whoa.
And he was paralyzed from the waist down. So you can imagine the work I had to do with bathing him and brushing his teeth, and he had a feeding tube. And, you know, I said to people, I'm not doing this because of any particular reason, but the fact that he's my dad, I'm alive, it's my responsibility, I feel, for me to take care of him. That job is not for everyone, but I know I can do it, and I did it for 4 years. But the thing that people would always say to me, and it would always be kind of like calm and subtle and kind of in my ear, and as I'm passing, they would always say, you are going to really forever be blessed because you have taken on something that everybody can't do. And, you know, I didn't literally ignore it, but I would just always kind of store up that little seed. And then when my dad passed on in 2001, I said to myself, wow, I don't even know where those years went. I don't even remember how I made it happen. I don't remember anything negative about it. All I can remember is I got a wish that I asked for when I was 8 years old. I said, because my mom and dad were separated, I said, man, I wish I could live with my dad. Well, guess what? I got that wish. So I looked at it in that manner instead of in anything that, you know, happened as far as how hard it was to, you know, bathe a 7'1" man, and plus he's your dad,
yeah.
So it's like awkward, you know. But
I
got a wish that I asked for at 8 years old. So that moral of that is when you ask, you have to also be prepared to receive. And it doesn't matter if it's immediate or if it's down the road, but the blessing in it is remembering and seeing that something did happen for you that you asked for, you know, not neglecting, oh, wait a minute, I asked for that, I got it. You know, just like with the TV show, I asked, I received. Now it's on TV. And so since, the TV aired on just Saturday, Tom, I mean, just a few
weeks
ago, I've had so many offers, people wanting to co-host radio shows with me, you know, the reality show with the five ladies. I've had people say, hey, let's, you know, start this mastermind alliance. I've had maybe over a dozen offers for people wanting to help me to further my end result goal with those million entrepreneurs and small business owners, you know, plus. And so I'm saying to myself, I receive. And one of my business partners, Kathleen O'Neill, one thing she says is, not expect a miracle, but accept a miracle. Because sometimes we'll expect it, but then we don't accept it because we're so shocked we got it. Well, why are you shocked that you got something you asked for?
Exactly. Now, another thing that I find so fascinating as part of another thing you're great at, which is networking, is that you're actively involved with the National Speakers Association. And I've heard stories when you tell about those events that some of the very extremely well-known and successful speakers that we all know are also some of the most helpful, friendly, give of their time, show up at these meetings, and you've met a ton of them. I've seen pictures of you with some of them, and that must be a tremendous, tremendous experience and benefit to be able to learn from some of these million-dollar-plus-a-year speaker earners.
Well, let me tell you something, Tom, and I'm going to say this at the risk of upsetting people, but I don't mind. I'm tough. for those that listen to your show, if they are a speaker or an author wanting to boost their speaking career up, and if they are not figuring out how they can become a part of National Speakers Association, they are doing themselves a huge disservice. See, me, I plan in advance. So I have a wish book, and my wish book has all of the people in the world that I'm going to meet before I leave this earth, okay? And I am telling you that it is a beautiful thing when I can put a red X on that page and replace the red X with a picture of me and that individual. I've met people like Dee Martini. I've met people like Roy H. Williams. I've met Greg S. Reed. I've met Jeffrey Gittimer. I've read, you know, met Amy Cosper, who's the executive publisher of Entrepreneur Magazine. I've met Ivan Meisner, Mark Victor Hansen, Les Brown. Every, you know, three times a year I see him. I've, you know, had conversations with Chelsea Handler, Kiyosaki. I'm going to tell you, it's not about the names of the people. It's about my dreams being realized just from my little I'm going to meet these people books. I mean, I love putting that red X and replacing it with a picture. And so what I've decided is I'm building a legacy book for my children so that when I'm gone and 100 years from now, they can look back and they'll have this legacy book to see all the things their mom has done, everywhere she's been, all the businesses she had, everything that she's done, all the books she's written, all the books she's read, so that they can have a piece of me forever and ever and ever and ever. And 100 years down the road, my people will know who I am. I can tell you right now, I cannot name my great-grandfather, my great-great-grandfather, or anybody before that. Why? One, they didn't leave me any money. Two, they don't have a name for themselves, so that's why I don't know them. But National Association has been a – I'm going to be honest with you. I think of National Speakers Association like I think of the Napoleon Hill organization. They have given me a portal to see the world. With National Speakers Association, I've seen every state in America, okay? Been to places that I didn't even think I wanted to go to. With Napoleon Hill Foundation, the reason I compare the two is because Napoleon Hill Foundation has given me an opportunity to see the globe. I mean, they've given me an opportunity to go to Malaysia. They've given me an opportunity to go to Ireland, and I just can't even wait to imagine what other places they're going to give me an opportunity to go to. So I look at NSA as a beautiful portal for me, and especially when you're sitting at the same table as Brian Tracy and he's talking to you about it, especially when you can walk up to Les Brown and joke about, hey, we see each other a lot, you know, because I see him at least three times a year at an event, and I always go up to him, get a hug, get a picture with him, and, you know, I always tell him how inspiring he is. But for me, it's that portal of getting places. So if you want to see the world, connect yourself with organizations that will show you the world. Your job is to get connected with them and to show up at the event you're supposed to show up at and get to see some of these beautiful states or cities or countries or wherever you need to be. And for me, that is so important that I see the world. I want to see what other people see. I want to learn about cultures that I don't even know why they do what they do. That is so fascinating to me, and I am so serious about it that there is no way in the world that I will be disconnecting with either one of them.
Wow, and you're kind of like me. I don't update it like I used to, but for many years I had that wish list, people I want to meet, books I want to read, courses I want to take, and places I want to go. And you're so right. I used to write victory beside mine instead of Xing it out in red, but I would put victory. And what a tremendous feeling that is. As you know, I met Vic Conant just before our Ireland trip, and so I got to write victory beside that because I'd wanted to meet him and find out more about Nightingale Conant's history for so many years. And so that is kind of a cool thing. Make a list of people you want to meet and then, you know, do what it takes to get to where these people are, get your picture taken with them, and it's very, very exciting just from the number of the people I meet.
And you know something funny, Tom? You know, when we were in Malaysia, when we finished looking at the Napoleon Hill play, remember the book they gave us by Napoleon Hill's wife on how to marry a rich man?
Yeah, yeah.
The book was on my list for 3 years. It was in my wish list on the Amazon thing. When I got that book, I mean, I literally stood there. I looked at the book. I looked up at Judy. And I said, you have no idea what you've just done. And she was like, what? I said, I had this book on my wish list. I said, there was only one copy available on Amazon. Somebody was selling for $425, and I refused to buy it. you know what, this book will land in my hand, and I probably won't pay a penny for it. And here I am in Malaysia, minding my own business, and the book lands in my hand. I did not pay a penny for it.
And did I thought, not pay a penny for it.
This is my proof of when I write it down, it will happen. That was my proof, and I was just like, I just stood there and was like, I cannot believe I just got this book. It's been on my list for like 3 years. I wanted No library carried the book or anything. I could not find it. But there's this one individual on Amazon that says, oh, I'll sell it to you for 400 and something bucks. And I went, I don't think so. You know, there's one other book in the world that I want that's on my wish list, and I can't find it under $5,000. So I'm going to put this out there in the universe again. And it's called The Book of It's called The Book of Wealth, and I think only 200 copies of it was made way back in the early 1900s, if I'm not mistaken, at the end of the 1800s, and only a select few group of people got this book. And I'm going to have a victory party within myself when that book lands in my hand, or I'm in some little country bookstore, because I take a lot of little road trips up to Austin and different places in Texas when I kind of want to have a little silent retreat or something. And I always end up in some little country bookstore that nobody likes to go in, but I go in and I'll buy 100 books because they're all self-help, all motivational, all, you know, stuff that I'm like, oh my gosh, that's on my list. You know, I've got a binder with books that I'm going to buy. Books and books and books. Maybe somebody has referred to me or told me about her. Yeah, I've got my list, and I'm telling you, Tom, if you haven't updated your list, do it, do it, do it.
Yes, exactly. And one thing I know that we both love and that we're both great at is networking. People ask me, why do you go? Like, I've been 3 years in a row to the Napoleon Hill Leader Certification trip, and I only needed to go to one to be certified. But people are saying, why do you go in all these Napoleon Hill workshops? I've been to some of them in Indiana, went to them in Malaysia, Ireland. It's because of the people I get to meet, and from around the world, I learn about their culture, I learn about them, and these are extraordinary people. And so networking is so important, because you never know who you're going to click with, who you're going to meet, what opportunity they have for you, what opportunity you have for them, how you can work together. And so this is why I participate in every leader certification trip and every networking event I can get to. I always have business cards in my pocket. I try always to collect business cards, because networking expands your world. It expands. You meet people who can explain their culture, their country, their business, what they do, and I love people, so I love networking, and I know this is crucial to what you do as well.
You know what? The first thing I did when I started my first business back in 98 is I said, I need to be connected with people who are thinking like I'm thinking on a business level, and I went to my first networking event, and I was hooked ever since then, and I have a little networking mantra that I keep in my, you know, on my vision board and everywhere else, and it says, get connected, stay connected, and be remembered. And that keeps me going back, because the first tip from that mantra of three is keep showing up. When you keep showing up, it's kind of like going to the family reunion every year. People just love you. They want to hug you. They want to connect you. They want to refer you. You just have to keep coming up. And, you know, any seminars or conferences or anything that people are involved in, keep showing up. If not, don't pay your money. Don't be bothered. Just don't do it. But I'm telling you, if you continue at it, I mean, the first time I went to NSA, I guess it's been 6 years now, the first time I went, I was completely an outsider, because, you know, most of the networking I do, especially when it's national, I'm by myself. So, you know, you have to have a pretty thick skin to go to all these big, huge events by yourself, because that means that every connection you make is going to 100% be on your recognizance, because there's nobody there to connect you, okay? So, you know, the first time I went, I felt like a complete outsider, because I knew no one at all. I even had called people that were leaving from the Texas area to say, hey, let's get together and meet. I'd love to know about you. You know, people didn't respond, so I thought, that's fine, because they don't know me. That's great. They probably think I'm some crazy, enthusiastic person they don't want to be around. So, you know, I felt like I was on my own, but, you know, the second time I went to the event, it was like, oh, I remember you. The third time I went, it was like, hey, family, I'm so glad you came. You know, now you just can't even stop the emails from coming when there's an event coming up saying, I hope you're going to be there. I get text messages all the time from people I've seriously connected with, and we stay connected to one another. Like, for instance, we have a Laugh Lab coming up in January in Las Vegas. And I've already gotten like 40 text messages in the last 10 days saying, I can't wait to see you in Las Vegas. And I'm like, I can't wait to see you in Las Vegas. And, you know, this Laugh Lab is going to be really, really funny for people like me who love to interject the funny and the fun into their speaking. And I want to use it for the TV show, you know, in my books and all of that. And I've always had a knack for doing it. But I want to know from the pros how they do it and learn some new techniques. But not only that, I really just like, you know, like Seth Godin says, hang with your tribe. I really like hanging with my tribe because we learn so much from one another. I've been a member of NSA for 6 years. I've never missed a conference, a convention, or a workshop. Never. I don't plan to. That's how important it is to me. It's important that when I show up and I go over to give Les Brown a hug and he remembers who I am and, you know, says, hey, if there's ever anything you need, let me know. And so, you know, people say that to the wrong person when they tell me that, because trust me, when I need something, I'm going to call you. Like I've already said, I want you on my show. He said, just tell me when.
Exactly. And I love your be remembered point as well, because if you go, and this is how I'm helping myself to be remembered, is always go with the going the extra mile principle in mind. How can I help whoever I'm going to meet? And so be remembered is important. Show up is good. Meet people. But be remembered. Do something that makes yourself distinct. Help to offer to help other people. Do whatever you can to, you know, be of service. And these things help you be remembered, because a lot of these amazing people that you and I meet a lot of people. And so how are they going to remember you?
Well, not only that, Tom, the funny thing is I now have something that I can guarantee you nobody will have in the room now. How many people can say they're on broadcast TV? So I have
exactly.
Makes me remembered even more. You know, when I first started networking, the thing that people remembered me, I was always the youngest one in the room. You know, either I was the only female in the room, I was the only African-American woman in the room, I was the only woman in the room who had 4 children, I was the only woman in the room who just maybe had started a new business, or I mean, there's always been these pivotal, you know, things in life that has helped me to continue to be remembered. You know, I could still run on the fact that I've written 15 books. I can run on that alone. But to be able to now share with people, I have a business television talk show. I'm at a business event. I want you to be involved through having an interview, advertising, whatever you would like to do to get connected. Because as we're updating our website right now, I just met with my web guy the other day, and we're getting ready to put the pictures and the links of every person that I've interviewed thus far, which is 93 people, you're included, of course. And so I want people to, you know, get connected through that as well, which will keep us at number one on Google, which is where we've been for the last 4 months. You know, thefabinterview.com has been number one, and we have, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people that go to the website all the time, and 35% of them stay on there for at least 15 minutes. Then I get comments from people, oh, my gosh, I didn't know you had all those companies. And I said, you know what, for me to do this business television talk show, I have to be the example of what I'm talking about. So for someone who had never owned a business, it would be preposterous for me to have this big goal. One of my little pet peeves that I have, yes, I have pet peeves, Tom, is when I see this, you know, business professors teaching in a college or a trade school, but they've never owned a business. I just want to walk up to them and just say, what are you doing here? How can you teach people the real world of business and you've never owned a business? So, again, I want to not just talk my talk, but I want to walk the walk and show people the path of that walk as well through whatever kind of business they want to start. And I've had many types of businesses, but you know, more and more people now are talking about writing books. More and more people are now talking about how they can get their 15 minutes of fame. You know, with my show, one thing that is very, very exciting to me is that I'm giving individuals an opportunity to be on TV who, one, never thought they could be, two, never knew that the opportunity was even there for them. So I have a lot of first-time interviewee people, and so I have a freebie that I'm going to be giving away on my website when we update it, you know, how to be the best interviewee possible. And they're just some tips from what I've learned from my guests. I'm not naming any of them, but just some tips I've learned from my guests that I'm going to put in an ebook, and I'm going to give it away for free because I want people to be so good when they go get interviewed that they get 100 more interviews after that. I mean, I get interviews all the time, you know, radio interviews, and you know, my, you know, thing is now I'm looking for an agent because I want an agent to get me a co-hosting, you know, one-day co-hosting event on The View or The Talk or whoever, Marie Osmond, whoever those people are, because the platform that I'm setting for this business television talk show, it doesn't exist. I create it. something that didn't exist, and I'm going to take it and run with it, Tom.
Wow. And now, so what if you don't live in Houston like me up here in Toronto, Canada? Can I, do you have the shows on your, will you have the shows on your website as well?
Well, because we have such a big master plan with what we're doing is we're going to definitely have, we're getting ready to upload about 15 new video clips on there where people can watch, you know, not a full segment because it's a one-hour show and most people don't want to sit and watch a one-hour show on TV. I mean, I do it
yeah.
all the time. I'm a TED.com girl, and I will watch a show all day long with TED. I have whole days that I dedicate to TED.com. But one thing we are going to do, because I'm thinking in a bigger manner, is we're going to have a product store. And basically, I'm going to take each season, package it up in a CD disc, and we're going to sell it for $49.95. And on there, not only are you going to get the premiere interviews from every person that was on there, but you're also going to get an audio CD with the synopsis of all the individuals that were on the season for the whole year and what their top tips were to help you in business. But also, you will then get my comments on what I thought about, you know, the entire season and the highlights from the show. So we are packaging that right now. We're creating T-shirts, and, you know, some of the sayings that we have on our T-shirts are going to be so delicious for entrepreneurs. I mean, you know, again, I said I'm creating an empire here, Tom. So I'm thinking not only products and services, but I'm looking at the whole gamut of, you know, T-shirts and DVDs and, you know, hats and just everything that an entrepreneur...
No, I love hats.
Yeah, would be proud to wear to showcase that they are an entrepreneur. You know, that's one thing I tell you I love about Jeremy Razor. I had him on my show a couple weeks ago. I love that when you see him, he's got his Achievers hat on and, you know, he's got his Achievers with him. And, you know, entrepreneurs, again, we need a hub, and the Fox Business Review
yeah.
will be the hub where you can go, and it's all business all the time. You can watch it with your family. You can watch it with your business partners. You can learn lessons from there. I mean, you know, it's just something that I felt is so necessary, especially at a time like this when we all need to be thinking about how to create our own economy through our own strengths and through our own companies.
Exactly.
Building our own empires, Tom.
Exactly. And so the website is the same name as the show, is it? FobsBusinessReview.com and Fobs, F-O-B-B-S?
It's the Fobs. It's T-H-E-Fobs, F-O-B-B-S, BusinessReview.com. And also, if they could please go to the Fobs Business Review on Facebook and like our page. Again, we got to get these million people. And, you know, just in the last few days, I've had, you know, 20 additional Twitter followers. I've had, you know, 15 new Instagram. I mean, it's just, I see
wow.
it growing. I get excited to now I'm at the point where every few minutes I'm on my phone looking at how it's growing and, you know, I'm tweeting more and it's really infused me and inspired me to tweet more. And, you know, I don't have anything against, you know, people who use virtual assistants to do their tweeting and their blogging. And I think that's beautiful because forcing that particular type of thing, I think that's wonderful. But I like interacting up front with people because it's real time, it's live. You know, it's okay to schedule a few tweets here and there if you just really have some quotes you really want to say. But, you know, the response is just so exciting, you know?
Wow. I think you and I could be on this line for the next day and a half and never run out of topics because we're so similar. I know the first time I interviewed you, I made a little joke that we are so different, male, female, different colors, different countries, so many different things, but we think so much alike. We read so many of the same books. We love so many of the same people. And so it's entrepreneurs like you and I who probably could just talk for days and days about the books, the speakers, the businesses we love. And so I really, really thank you for being on the show today. I'll be keeping tuned to your website, and when I can see it on the air, I'll watch the show as well. And so I really suggest people go to that, thefobsbusinessreview.com. And as you said, it's going to be like a portal for entrepreneurs and small business people, and it'll be a great place just to hang out. And so I suggest everyone go to that, thefobsbusinessreview.com, and hang out a while and see how you progress over the months, and tune into the show when they can. Thank you so much, Don. I really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me, Tom, and I appreciate you.
Have an amazing day.